Greetings, everyone. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're live on this Sunday evening on Worldwide WWCR. We've got a great show lined up for you. We are going to go to the book of Matthew, and we're going to address the great controversy as it is stated in the scriptures about the question, was the Judah seed line the birthright seed line? In other words, should Christ come through the birthright tribe? Or should he come through one of the others that are not designated as birthright or worthy of birthright? Because the birthright is the question. To whom did Christ come to establish the throne from the seed line that he was designated to be the birthright inheritor? Now, we're talking about a kinsman redeemer to bring us back to the old path, as the scriptures has indicated that we should search the scriptures and that we should believe on the scriptures, as they say, to develop the spiritual mentality and the spiritual aptitude that it takes to overcome the line mentality of the scriptures. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, great controversy, great mysteries are in the scriptures. And the Bible says for you not to add to and for you not to take from. But it specifically says that you must develop the unique ability to rightly divide. Therein lieth the great mystery of the scriptures. Now, we're going to begin in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 1. This is going to be a very detailed and a very comprehensive, in-depth study of this great mystery. If you would like to take notes and really for the first time perhaps find out who is the worthy inheritors to the kingdom. Who are, in other words, God's chosen people? Were you born with a silver spoon in your mouth? That expression comes from those, whether deserving or not, are chosen from their birth canal. Now, the scriptures are very heavily penned to indicate that the kinsman redeemer came through for a purpose and a divine plan, a very specific, detailed entrance into the world. Now, the book of John describes this entrance as, in John 1 and 1, as it expresses, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Now, if God created the heaven and earth, then in John 1 and 1, it also describes, in the beginning was the Word. And we're going to look at the unveiling of the manifested Word as he came into the world to become the author and the finisher of our faith. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you must strive to enter in at the straight gate. For straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, and a few there be that find it. Have you purposed in your heart and in your mind and in your soul above all to put on the armor of righteousness? Now, what is the armor of righteousness? Well, there is an armor of light that seems right, but this armor is the armor of Saul. David, when he tried out the armor of Saul, discovered that this armor was not his covering. And so he opted for, in the presence of all of the cowed down Israelites that failed to fight Goliath, were stalemated, checkmated, if you will, by the very physical presence of Goliath as he goaded and belittled the warriors of Israel, and none would come forth, including Saul, who was head and shoulders above all that were in the army of Saul's house of Israel. Only David, preferring not to wear the armor of the flesh, or the armor of the world, or the armor of a seem right way, he chose and opted to put off every little weight of the traditional flesh veil that is seem like from birth hung over our spiritual minds, and we are veiled and altogether born in this world to tradition of the world. And Christ cried out as he came without, I might say, the armor of Saul, stripped naked, yet more than a conqueror, laughed, ridiculed, spoke evil of, and then the enemy agent went to work after his death to deny his very existence. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, according to the 14th verse of the first chapter of John, chapter 14. Now, in verse 10, it declares emphatically that he, Christ, the armor of truth man, not the armor of flesh, not the armor of the will of the people, not the armor of tradition, of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, as he went up and stripped away the right and authority to practice, if you will, the covenant of the divine creator, as Christ only, with the exception of the keepers of the temple, there was something marvelous that was hid by the veil of Moses, or the veil of the temple. Behind that veil in the temple that took 42 years to build, by Herod, the Canaanite Jew. Herod was the ruler from Judah. This is the same one that sought to kill this unarmed, unarmored entrance of the living flesh of Almighty God, because they said, as it is noted in the parables, come, oh come and let us kill him, that we may inherit his inheritance. Ladies and gentlemen, have we been denied as a people of Almighty God, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the right of inheritance? And has the enemy crept in unaware and stole our birthright and changed the truth of Almighty Yahweh into a lie and deceived the very sheep to whom that birthright covenant was to be given to. I believe so. I believe that after this series, that will perhaps take at least 5 to 6 hours in coverage. We only have an hour tonight, so be ready as we get into the meat of the subject in the next few occasions that we have together with you on Worldwide WWCR 12.160 to bring you the rest of the story. Things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world in the age of the outpouring. The man that bears the pitcher of water that Christ spoke of in the Gospel of Luke. There you will find a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. In that age he would declare that after 2 days he would revive us. So in the age of 2,000 years of past, since the Almighty God, wrapped in flesh, laid in swaddling clothes, grew up to be a man, learned obedience, and suffered at the hands of the enemy. And they that killed him and they that despised him, they that did not want him to rule over them, they that were not his sheep, oh my, we're talking about the doctrine of separation, identification of who the real enemy is. Would it surprise you, before the end of these messages, on the important series entitled, Was Christ a Jew?, that you will discover a diabolical plot to the depth beyond your own natural comprehension and is only revealed through the Spirit that searches the deep things of God. Oh my heart weeps as it did the Messiah as he looked over that beautiful city that had grown in tradition of the Canaanite Pharisee doctrines that rejected the truth that this Messiah and the very bloodline that he came through changed the truth into a lie and worshiped the creature of the tradition rather than the truth of the salvational message. Salvation belongs to one people, to, for, and about. The Bible is to the chosen people of Almighty God, and not, let me assure you, not to the Jews who are not even typed in to the bloodline covenant of birthright. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, you're beside yourself. You're mad with learning. Oh, but my, let us prove all things. And tonight in the book of Matthew, I will show you in the first 6 verses of Scripture a major, if not fatal, to those who are not able to discern, to those who are not able to comprehend, to those who are not able to see beyond the tip of their traditional noses and open the eye or peel back or use the eye salve of truth. Oh, it takes a man and a woman fully armored not with the traditional armor of the world, but the armor of light and revelation and truth. And the Bible said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Are you free? Are you sure, as you said in Sunday school, or listening to the Sunday morning traditional sermon of Easter bunnies, and here comes Santa Claus, messages of the traditional norms of every season going around without fail, they systematically bring back in to their traditional doctrine the same old, never get tired of. Lies and traditions and fabrications and layered deceit that the Jews are God's chosen people, and this is in direct error and is contrary to sound doctrine. Search the scriptures, for wherein you think you have eternal life, you have none. In the book of Matthew, verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. Now we get a starting point in Matthew. We will see also in the book of Luke, chapter 3, the two genealogy chapters of Matthew and Luke. There are other veiled references in the other Gospels scattered here and there. And you know what the Bible says? Line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little, and search the scriptures, for wherein you think you have eternal life, you have none. And these are they that testify of me. Ladies and gentlemen, in the day of judgment, the word of God will be opened either for you or against you. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, my preacher has been preaching for 50 years. His hair is silver white, and he has a silver tongue, and he was born to preach the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said many are called, few are chosen, and the prophets of the traditional world of the armor of Saul preaching for the sheep, they can pass land and sea to make one proselyte, and when they make him two-four more the child of hell than he was to begin with. My, but these are dangerous, perilous times. Search the scriptures. So then, the first verse established the generation, the genetics, in other words, of Christ. That is immensely important to searching and figuring out the mystery of what bloodline in the Bible that Christ came from. Everybody believes that the bloodline was traceable to Abraham. Would you agree? Oh my, but let me show you a description. And remember, they that sow tares among the wheat are this discrepant seed that we should beware of, as it is noted in the book of John, chapter 8, and verse 33. In 32, Christ, speaking to a congregation, and oh my, ladies and gentlemen, if Christ was back on earth tonight to preach the message of the truth of the gospel, how many would receive the message that Christ, who would have to stand outside the established, conventional, Christian, Judeo-Christian church to preach the message of truth? Verse 32, 8 of John says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I have said repeatedly, set free and made free is entirely two different things. Tonight you may think that you have liberties, but there are rules and regulations and ordinances that is passed by the government that restricts you from having your own freedom to do whatever you bid to do and not recognize the established laws of society. The same holds true with the Word of God. For well, you reject the commandments of God to keep the tradition of a society that has established contrary laws against the true worship of Almighty God, and hid the truth from them that would go in, as it is stated, beware of the scribes. Beware of the scribes. The scribes are those that penned, reprinted, if you will, recopied the text that was handed down from generation to generation. Beware of the scribes and beware of the Pharisees. Here he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, not set you free. Are you set free in religion and not made free in the truth? Do you have trouble discerning? Do you let some other well-known seminary who is as dead as any cemetery preacher I've ever met, and most of them are? Why? Because they use an ear-trickling approach. And the Almighty God, crying out to His people, said, my people love to have it so. They love a form. They love a fashion. They love pomp. And they love splendor. They love large crowds. They love to be entertained. Few dare to withdraw themselves from the world. Come out of here, my people. Receive not of her plagues. And stand in the way and sin and ask for the old path. Oh, my. The preachers that are preaching the old path is scarce as hen's teeth. As the old East Tennessee mountain preacher would say, tonight in your presence, hen have few teeth, if any. You'll never know till you examine the fact of the preachers and examine the words that comes from the mouth. And the Bible says, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. In the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 2, Abraham begot Isaac. Notice now, we're beginning to have the descending bloodline of Abraham, and Matthew will trace it back to Jesus Christ. He will future advance it from Abraham. 14 generations from Abraham to David. Oh my, we're going to examine those first 14 generations and we'll find a flaw, a discrepancy in the genealogy. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, you know there's nothing wrong with the Bible and the way it is presented to us. God's word is true. Just every word is true. If you believe that, then you ignore, as the ostrich ignores with his head in the sand, as he builds on a sandy foundation, you will ignore the very truth of the Bible when it says that the birthright is not to be reckoned after genealogy. Oh my, where does it say that, Pastor Buddy? I've never read that. Glory to God. And by the way, what does that mean? Well, let me explain to you in the gospel of 1 Corinthians. Listen to me as I read in the book of 1 Corinthians, or 1 Chronicles, that is. 1 Chronicles chapter 5. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel. Now I'm going to show you that there is a discrepancy in the genealogy, as we now have established that the firstborn of Jacob's bloodline, because we find in the book of Matthew again, Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob. Remember, there was a great war that ensued between who owned the birthright from the very womb of Rebekah. Even before the children were born, somebody was trying to influence the outcome of the elected one. Was there a tear in the womb of Rebekah? My, my. The intrigue, the mystery deepens in the revelation as we go deeper into the great mystery that God has hidden from the wise concealed it from the kings of Israel, and said, it is Almighty God who conceals, it is the King of knowledge, you are a king and a priest with Almighty God, and it's up to you to search out the mysteries, pray, see, and ask for the old path. You'll never find it in a traditional bell box where they issue you the tablum of the milk. And the Bible said, he that is on milk or stays on milk or refuses to walk in to the meat table of the Almighty God, there is a milk table and there is a meat table, and I'll assure you there is difference as it is in daylight and dark. Oh, you think you've considered the cost and the price? You think you are on your way to a rapture without any suffering? You have been blessed. You have a three-car garage. You have a mortgaged home that you can handle with the payments. You have a little wife that puts on an apron and sings in the kitchen as she bakes cherry pie and waves the patriotic flag of patriotism and say, we've had it good. When in reality, if you only knew the truth, if you only knew how many upon God's earth today who have not bowed their knee to Baal, you would reduce down significantly the number of those who are Christ as opposed to them that profess Christ. For many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works? And the Almighty God shall declare unto them with eyes ablaze and a heart that cannot be touched. For in that day the reckoning, the reasoning, the pleading, the crying, the preaching, and the weeping, the fasting, the study will be over. You shall stand in your lot, and you shall be judged out of the things that's written in the books, the compiled record. And the Bible says you must search the scriptures, for wherein you think you have eternal life, you have none. Ladies and gentlemen, discrepancies grows as we stop at Jacob, who eventually, after much wrestling with Satan, did you know that the war began in the womb of Rebekah? When God made a covenant promise that the war Satan began to try to get his son, his seed, blessed under the anointed covenant of Almighty God. And he uses any means through stealth and deception to deceive the very elect. Watch out. Because this mystery is so great, and these illusions have been printed so masterfully, that it would deceive the very elect. People that believe that they're doing God a service, people that believe that they've done many wonderful works, will be denounced in that day and slayed before Almighty Christ, as it is recorded in the book of Matthew, chapter 25. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, you're teaching a wrathful God, a vengeful God, when our little Jesus is so humble, and our little Jesus is so kind, and our little Jesus loves everybody. Are you sure that Jesus loves everybody? When in reality, he doesn't. When in reality, he warns you that except your righteousness or your truthfulness of your spirit, and the Bible says, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Be not deceived, for Almighty God in the day of vengeance, as it is recorded in the book of Isaiah and quoted in Luke chapter 3, when that day comes, when the wrath of the Almighty God is leashed upon the earth, and then unleash to the total annihilation and destruction of the discrepant tares that are in the field. When he sends forth his angels to root out... This is the message of truth. This is the message that is escaping the ears of the unsuspecting sheep of Israel as they sit and listen to these bellbox preachers announce, pronounce, and profess salvation for everyone, no one excluded, when that is a lie of the serpent. Ladies and gentlemen, I will give you this example. Either you make the tree good and the fruit good, or the tree evil and corrupt and the fruit of it corrupt. And there's no way that you can save the devil or his offspring. Oh, you say, Pastor Buddy, that's just the spiritual nature of man. Man is, you know, he's got an evil nature, and he has to get rid of that when he professes Christ. He comes down to Billy Graham's crusade. Glory to God. His name is wrote on the Lamb's book, and his old carnal nature is changed. Ladies and gentlemen, I will assure you, listen to me in pronounced detail, that that is a lie of the serpent. There is a people in the earth that have never had an opportunity to have the covenant. Therefore, they stole the covenant, changed the truth of God into a lie, and most people are following the liars, and the true preachers are denounced as racist and hard, and nobody has an ear to hear. Well, I'm not preaching for the many. Obviously, I am preaching for the few. I'm preaching for men and women that will hazard their life. I'm preaching to men and women that will put on the whole armor, not of the tradition of the world of Santa Claus and Easter bunny rabbits and all this filth of the billbox religions of traditions as they go from church to church and from door to door and house to house, making proselytes to turn them into hell with all nations that forget the divine covenant of Almighty God. Esau had no chance of salvation. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, I just don't want to hear a message like that. That's frightening. God don't denounce or turn away anyone. Oh my, it is obvious you haven't read, searched, or looked into the depth comprehensible of the Word of God, that the enemy that come into the field unaware and sowed the tares is the enemy and the evil one. He shall be eradicated at the last day. His seed will be gathered into bundles. I'm sorry to say, no mercy, no salvation is granted to Satan and his children. Would you dare look into the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew? My, how many places we could go. Time doesn't permit, Pastor Buddy, to cover this subject and give it justification. I could preach for 5 hours right now with the anointing that's on me to proclaim to you all of the necessary scriptures to save your soul, enlighten and pull the veil of Moses and tradition. Because, ladies and gentlemen, when Christ died, let me reveal to you the first nugget of truth tonight that you need to remember, and remember this well. When he died, the veil that stood exactly 10 foot high beyond man's reach in a normal range, it ripped from the top to the bottom to express God's displeasure of the lying Canaanites that had ruled in the temple for 400 years. As they had moved in and took over and lied to those in Jerusalem for hundreds of years, remember Christ said, beware of them. Did you know that there was no ark to guarantee a covenant? And when the veil was rent, for the first time, everyone that had to stand outside the veil, remember, only the high priest was allowed to enter. So therefore, it was a secret chamber, only known by those who ruled in that temple, who were nothing more than thieves and robbers, liars and perverters of God's holy truth. There was no sanctification of an ark in the whole building. My. What are you going to do when there's no ark of sanctification for you? Are you going to reply as the clay to the potter who made you, "Why have you made me thus?" You say, "Oh, Pastor Buddy, you're getting into predestination, and I certainly don't believe that. My preacher told me that that was witchcraft doctrine." Well, ladies and gentlemen, the very thing that they profess is evil is the good that'll give your ears and your stomach a meat offering to open and to pull back the veil and the scales of deception from the eyes of Jacob Israel, which they do not want to happen, but which will happen in the last days, for God Almighty will send prophets and teachers and hunters and fishermen, and they will fish for the elect of God, and the sheep of Israel shall hear the voice of the prophet, and they shall come forth. And they shall come out of her, my people. All the days here, the night is far spent, and the day is at hand. And salvation is nearer than since any time since we first believed. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Don't resist the pricking of the truth. Some of you are debating in your mind and heart right now. Oh, this Pastor Buddy, he's got a lot of truth. He's got a lot of fire and spirit. He sounds like he's got spiritual integrity. I can feel an anointing, but I'm afraid. Ladies and gentlemen, I told you at the beginning of the message, only the daring, only the bold, only the wise come out of her and dare to break with the ranks of tradition. You might have to go against mommy, daddy, mother, sister, brother, child, or yea, even your own life necessary to please Almighty God. Those that come to him, he will try them as gold tried in the fire. There is a sifting. There is a smelting. There is the dross that comes that will be rejected. Briars and thistles will be rejected. Cain seed, the offspring, I don't care if they are bloodlined into the house of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They will be rejected because they are not God's chosen seed. Now, I'm going to give you this message for this hour. We'll pick it up next Sunday night, part two of this message of genealogy. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take you into first-time territory of revelation that Almighty God has kept secret since the days that he declared these things in the privacy of those that followed him that were worthy to preach this, and for their efforts they got whipped, chained, imprisoned, mistreated, abused, literally starved to death, fed to the lions for the truth. And today is no exception. You shall be hated of all people for this namesake religion of truth, not the vain religion of man. There is a difference. It is between milk and meat that you'll find the difference of the truth. And as the old saying goes, the proof is in the puffing. Come taste of me, saith the Father. Well, the Bible said it shall be sweet in your mouth. Oh, yes, sometimes the truth is so sweet. And yet when you evaluate or consider or figure the cost, many turn back and will not follow after this teaching anymore because they love the broad way. They love the many on the way. They love the glamour. And they love the pomp and the splendor, the stained glass windows, and the Christmas programs, and the Easter Bunny programs, and the show-off programs, and the great temples that they display to the world, photograph and pass around. Look at our church. We're the biggest church in town. We must have something going for Christ over here. Come over to us. That's the very ones you must avoid. Run to the caves. Flee to the rocks and the mountains. Fast and pray. Search the scriptures. Do not let man deceive you. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Come out of her, my people, the warning cry of the true Sabbath, the warning cry of the true name, the warning cry of the birthright people versus the seed of the serpent. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, you know better than that. Let me conclude tonight in chapter 3. I want you to draw a line for our next study series in your Bible. If you're studying with Pastor Buddy in Matthew chapter 1, draw you a line from verse 3 down to verse 5. I'll show you discrepancies in genealogy. I'll show you how the scribes, who you must be warned about again, as I read in Reuben's family record, he was the firstborn. Now, in the book of Matthew, chapter 3, right after Jacob begot Judas, why would they jump the bloodline genealogy? Remember, Reuben was first in line. Why would they jump from the bloodline of Reuben down to the bloodline of Judas, or Judah? Judas is the Hellenization of the Greek. So when I talk about Judah, I'm talking about Judas in the Greek. I use the Greek word to emphasize my emphasis is placed upon Judas. The tribe of Judas, was it a pure tribe? Was there any discrepancy sowed into the blood of Judas? Were they not 12 chosen and one a devil? Was he not from Judas? Was there a discrepant bloodline that had mastered the art of deception, grew into the chief seats of the Pharisees, and established a dynasty in the Mosaical priesthood that Christ railed and preached and warned repeatedly about? The answer emphatically from Pastor Buddy's spirit, yes! There is a way that seems right. Tradition wins every time in the flesh, ladies and gentlemen, but spirit prevails in the end. You shall know the truth. Search the scriptures and beware of those that add to, take from, but the scriptures gives you the right to rightly divide. And that is the major appointment that you must meet. It is the criteria that you must overcome the line of the tribe of Judas. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, it is penned in the English, "Behold, I, Christ, the Lamb, and behold, I, Christ, the Lamb of the tribe of Judah." Now, which one is he? Is he the Lamb of Joseph? Or is he the Lion of Judas? That's the $64 question. We'll solve it in the Greek interlinear next Sunday night. If you would like to have free a photocopy of my Greek interlinear to show you the discrepant word of adding to and taken from, remember Christ in the book of Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, declared unto them, "Beware, or woe unto them that add to, and those that take from." For For I testify that every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in the book. Ladies and gentlemen, someone that has been in charge of these Bibles, they have tampered with the evidence. I can prove it. On national radio, I dare to come forth and declare unto you that there is discrepancies in the written text that we now possess and hold in our hands as sacred. You say, God wouldn't permit that. Why did he warn against those that would? It is possible for somebody to change the love letter. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly, precisely what has happened. The tares have slipped in, unaware, wrote the love letter to indicate that they're God's chosen people, when in reality, it is a lie and a deception of such a deceptive level that you wouldn't believe it, though a poor old struggling prophet in the last days declared it unto you. So then the objective that you have before you, as Paul declared, run this race with patience. Put on the whole armor that you might withstand the wiles of those that were ordained from the very beginning to creep in unaware and to change the word of God and to actually make you believe a lie and be damned. When you believe that a certain group of people are God's chosen and you're less than what you really are. Therein lies the deception. Therein lies all of the support that these who call themselves Jews and are not, but are the children of Satan. Beware, avoid, run, hide, pray, seek, fast, and see and ask for the old path. As it is declared in Matthew chapter 1, verse 3, and Judas, right away after Jacob, it jumps down to the fourth son of the strength of Jacob. Why Judas? Did they not want us to know what happened to Reuben? And to Simeon? And to Levite? And trying to cover up what actually happened to Judah? Ladies and gentlemen, you will not find a son out of Jacob's lineage that was worthy of the birthright until the 11th descendant from the bowels of Jacob. His name was Joseph, and to him and to him only belongs the birthright that Almighty God swore and will not repent. Thou art a servant forever in the house of David. Well, you say, well, I know David was a Jew. You have been deceived if you believe that. David was no more a Jew, probably, if you are Aryan, blue-eyed, green-eyed, hazel, or the beautiful light brown, not the dark almond. If you are in that lineage, you probably are more qualified to claim that you're God's chosen. Because there were 12 tribes in the house of Israel, 13 if you count Manasseh the half tribe, and now we are in for a change of a genealogy. And nobody ever mentions Joseph's birthright. He is ignored and denied, and yet he was the perfect epitome and the perfect image and the perfect type of Christ. My, but my time has come and gone, and I'm just lathered up and ready to preach. Oh, but I love you dearly, house of Israel, Jacob. If you would like to see Revelations 5 and 5 and see what it really says in the Greek concerning the tribe of Judah and the lion, or the tribe of Joseph and the lamb, and the wrestling match of who overcome whom, you will be amazed at the wording. Again, the deception goes on in many places in the original Greek. They have changed the text. And those who fail to search the scriptures, brought on as blind Samson, grinding at the mill of tradition as his enemy laughs him to scorn and beats him with whips and chains and slavery. That's where the house of Israel is tonight. It is a blind Samson grinding out the fortunes of the Rothschilds, the Mellons, the Bilderbergers, and I could go on and on and on. And I will continue next Sunday night. Don't miss part two of Who is Christ and what is his bloodline and is it important for the last days? Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to write Pastor Buddy, I need to give you my address. It is very important tonight that I hear from you. I don't have much support as you, if you have weathered the message tonight, if you've stayed in the trenches and took the meat, if you understand or comprehend from any reality standpoint of where my heart and message is coming from, right out of the almighty heartbeat of God who loved you and hated his enemy. You say, Pastor Buddy, God don't hate nobody. Ladies and gentlemen, again, in the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 34, again, the deception is obvious that they've added to and changed again the Word of God. I'll prove it to you. When we get through with the series, I will guarantee you, you'll never be the same. Your comprehension level will be deepened because the Bible said it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Rightly tonight, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. That's Post Office Box 2284. New Tazewell, N-E-W-T-A-Z-E-W-E-L-L, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip, 37824. Call me tonight. I'll take your call live and direct. I'm live here on the 13th day of the month of October. I'll take your call live. Area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Email me if you have capabilities, Buddy, B-U-D-D-Y, at www.gap.net. That's all that you'll need to get into the house of God. I'll send you information concerning the message tonight. Just specify, Pastor Buddy, send me the track on Who is Christ, and I will forward you the information that you need. I need to hear from you. Tuck in a love offering for the Shepherd's Call. Remember my sponsor tonight, Dr. Gary. Call my sponsor, Dr. Gary, at 1-877-289-7439. He needs to hear from you on my behalf. Tell him that Pastor Buddy sent you. Tell him that Pastor Buddy recommended you call my sponsor, Dr. Gary, at 1-877-289-7439 or Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. These are toll-free express numbers. It won't cost you a dime to call. Call without fail. I need to hear from you. Send your tithes and offerings to keep me on WWCR. Those of you out there that could afford to sponsor Pastor Buddy on another hour's program, I need your help. If the Almighty Father has financially blessed you and you're capable of spending at least $1,000 a month to put out 1 hour on WWCR, that's approximately what it'll cost, I need your help. If you can afford $52,000 a year, I will guarantee you I'll preach the gospel for you on behalf of Christ and the truth of the gospel without fail. I do not compromise. I do not bow to men's pressure, threats, or intimidation. I'm an old preacher. I'm 66 years old. And I have never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging bread. I am not afraid to declare the whole counsel. I need your help. Call me, area code 423-626-2172. Pledge your support to the Shepherd's Call. I'll see you next Sunday night for part two of Was Christ a Jew? On part two, I will go into the continuing saga, the mystery of how the deceptors have changed the truth of God into a lie, having you to worship the creatures of this earth rather than the divine creator who came into this world unaware. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and those that killed him and crucified him and set away with him, you've been led to believe that they were blind. And ladies and gentlemen, they knew all along what they were doing. This is the inheritor. Come, let us kill him that we may have his inheritance. And you tell me that they didn't know what they were doing when they killed and crucified Christ upon Mount Calvary. Well, I'll see you next Sunday night. I'm waiting for your call. Yahweh bless you.